today as we come to the table.
I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now notice this, not only did Jesus come to restore us to himself, he came to give us life and life more abundant. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're just kind of getting by? And yet the Bible says God didn't just come just so that we could get by. He came that we could have life and life more abundant. And understand, that's not just talking about once we die and go to heaven. Yeah, well, this miserable world's gonna be over one day and then we go on to heaven. No, what he's saying is yes, there are hard, miserable times down here, but Jesus came that we might have also abundant life down here.
God knew that man would fall in the Garden of Eden. God is sovereign and knows all things. Today, Pastor Mark will be explaining how God, in his great love for you, made a plan to provide a substitutionary sacrifice for your sins. The Lord made a way for the world to have fellowship with him again. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. The devil wants nothing more than to continuously barrage you with fiery darts so that you grow discouraged in your walk with the Lord. God, however, provides grace when you fall and desires you to come to him whenever you feel discouraged. Confess your sins to the Lord and allow him to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 3 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Today we look at encouragement and hope. Now over the last few weeks we have seen man's fall and the consequences that followed that. But today we see God's encouragement and God's hope in the midst of all of it. And boy, don't we need that. I know I do. I need encouragement on a regular basis. And God knows that we need encouragement. And no doubt Adam and Eve needed great encouragement here. Can you imagine? It's one thing to mess up and do something where you messed up. You know, it's like me getting the chainsaw stuck and a tree's laying on it. And I've got to figure out what am I going to do. It's another thing entirely to know you've done something that has messed someone else up. You cut the tree down and it falls on their house. You see, Adam and Eve dropped a tree on the house of the world, and now our roof has been busted through. The bad news is there's a big hole in the midst of everything in our home where we live. The good news is God does great repair work. And so, see, that's the hope that we need in the Lord. And not only for what Adam and Eve have, you know, what happened to them in this world through their fall, but individually this morning. Some of you this morning are discouraged. You've made some big mistakes. You've done something in this past week, maybe something this morning you regret. And either way, you know, even though you've done it, it's still God is the one who knew you were going to do it, and God has a plan to restore you in that. Now, again, when it talks about the fall of Adam, if the story ended there with the fall and then God meting out the consequences in the midst of the fall, this would be nothing but a story of despair. I mean, there would be no hope. What it'd be is like, all right, we blew it, and now we all suffer forever. This would be bad news. But that's not how the story ended. There's good news, and God brings a good result to this as he does everything, because God knows all things. He loves us, and he has a plan from beginning to the end. Now, God knew that man would fall and suffer greatly, but he also knew that he had a plan to restore man and to give man hope and encouragement. So that's what we'll see today. Now, speaking of Satan and then himself, Jesus said in John 10, verses 10 and 11, and let me just read this to you. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now notice this, not only did Jesus come to restore us to himself, he came to give us life and life more abundant. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're just kind of getting by? And yet the Bible says God didn't just come just so that we could get by. He came that we could have life and life more abundant. And understand, that's not just talking about once we die and go to heaven. Yeah, well, this miserable world's going to be over one day and then we go on to heaven. No, what he's saying is yes, there are hard, miserable times down here, but Jesus came that we might have also abundant life down here. And so in the midst of our down times, and yes, we have them, he has also promised a lot of up times. And so that's where our encouragement comes from, is that, you know what, there are those tough times, but there are also those wonderful times that we have in the Lord. And life has a lot of ups and downs, but Jesus has abundant life for us. Now, the reality is we still have consequences in this world due to sin. But because of the Lord's sacrifice and his repairing work that he's done through his sacrifice, we have the abundant life not only down here, but the promise of eternal life in heaven. You know, one of the prayers that I pray, and I just the other day, you know, I was praying, and there's a word they used in the scripture that when they would talk about God's greatness. They would say, you know, well, God brought us out of Egypt, Dayenu, and God brought us into the wilderness, and they'd say, Dayenu, and God fed us in the wilderness, Dayenu, and God brought us into the promised land, Dayenu, and they go down this whole list of things that God has done for them, and each time afterwards in that psalm, they'll all say Dayenu together, and Dayenu just means that would have been enough. In other words, if that's all God had done, that would have been enough. And sometimes when I find myself in the midst of despair, or maybe I'm down for whatever the reason might be, or I'm like, you know, how come things aren't going the way that I wanted them to go? What'll pop into my mind is, you know what? Think about it. Although it could be really bad down here, this is as bad as it's ever going to get. For the believer, you are now in hell. Note that. For the believer, you are now in the most hell you'll ever be in. Now, we're not in hell because you'll never be in hell. But here's my point. It will never get any worse in your eternity than this life right here. And although you might be saying this morning, yes, but I feel like I'm in hell now, trust me, you're not. That's a lot worse than this. And the good news is for you, it only gets better from here. Now, for those without the Lord, the bad news is it only gets worse unless they receive Christ. But for us, no matter how down we get, it only gets better. And so I find myself sometimes saying, you know what? Even if this doesn't work out, even if this ends in whatever my worst thought could be of this particular process as to whatever I'm involved in or whatever I feel down about, the bottom line is, Dayenu. If it all ended right now, if I lost my family, my home, everything was gone, that's just it, out the window tomorrow, today, if it's all gone, even as it happened to Job where he took everything and it's all gone, Job could say as well as us, Dayenu. And what that means is, it's enough. And why is it enough? Because no matter what happens, we live forever in glory with the Lord. Yes, there's suffering down here, but our encouragement and our hope is forever in eternity with God. And so we need to realize that we have this hope of heaven. And to know this hope of heaven is what keeps us from being in despair. And so that, again, I think is what God was doing with Adam and Eve here in this passage, because this is the type of hope they needed. I mean, these guys had blown it really bad, and they really realized, you know what, not only have we blown it, but is it gonna, you know, it could have been that way forever had God not given them hope. And also what they had done to the rest of the world. I read of a professor this week from a small New England college who adopted a very wise plan early in his teaching career. And it says that whenever he discovered a student who was discouraged about his work and his abilities, he made a point of giving that student a much better grade than he really deserved, and then made sure that the rest of the class knew about the grade. And he said when he did that, almost invariably, every time, said the professor, the student would perk up from that encouragement and next time earn the kind of grade he gave him the first time. In other words, it gave him hope. He realized, you know what, I didn't earn this, but because there's hope here, because I see that I do have a chance, I'm going to do my best. And God does the same thing for us today. He sees us in our failures. And how many times have you been in the midst of a failure when God has poured out his best blessing? You ever been there? Sometimes I'm in the midst of my worst failure where I feel like I've done the worst thing I could do, and one of the sweetest blessings comes along. And I realize this is just the Lord encouraging me. He's simply blessing me and giving me hope because he knows that I would lose it. I would be discouraged. That's how God deals with us. He doesn't give us the grade we deserve. He gives us better than the grade that we deserve so that we'll be encouraged and realize that it's going to be okay. Well, this, I think, was God's message for Adam and Eve this morning as he had just, last time we saw, given them the consequences. He said, you know, here's what you've done. Here's what's going to happen. And being in the midst of probably a moment of discouragement, the Lord realizes they need encouragement. And first, God will encourage Eve through Adam. And I think Eve would have been the first one needing encouragement, as she was the first one to blow it. You know, Eve probably feeling pretty horrible right now. Can you imagine? God just gives out the consequences, and Eve goes, it's because I believe the lie of Satan, and I went for it in my flesh. And now not only is our entire family suffering, but the entire generations after us is suffering. What have I done? Now again, not taking the responsibility off of Adam, but I think what Eve must have felt, and notice the sweetness of the Lord as he moves through Adam's life here to encourage Eve. Notice verse 20. It says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, you might miss this if you don't understand what Eve means here, but it's a very appropriate name. Because Eve here, the name actually means life or living. In other words, there's hope in your future, Eve. Yes, you've blown it, but God is going to use you to bring life into the world, not only to populate the entire world, as God did with Eve, but also to bring spiritual life. As remember back in Genesis 3, he promised that a seed would come through the woman, generations after Eve, and she would be the mother of all the living in the sense that all that would be born would come through her and then all the mothers after that. The point is that you're going to be used by God to bring life into this world. And life that will be eternal, because also the promised seed will be coming into this world for giving mankind. So it's going to be okay, Eve. Yes, you blew it, but God's still going to use you in a great way. And some of you this morning, maybe you've blown it so bad you think that God can't use you anymore. I see two types of people. I see some that think they've blown it so bad that God can never use them. Even when they come to the Lord, they say, all right, I've given my life to the Lord, but God can never use me because, well, you don't know my past. It's amazing when you read even the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the ones that God allowed to be in the line of the promised seed, the promised Messiah, the characters these people were. Jacob, a deceiver, known as a deceiver. Rahab, a harlot, a prostitute. This is the lineage that God used to bring the Messiah into the world. People that probably would think I've done so bad I could never be used again, but God delights to do that. He delights to use us, even when we think we can't be used. And I want to encourage you, if you're in one of those groups that says, you know, I've come to the Lord, but my background is too shady, there's no way God could use me. Nonsense. The Bible says when we come to the Lord that all the old passes away and all things become new. So we need to understand we have that newness in the Lord. But there's a second type of person, and that is the type that says, well, I've given my life to the Lord, but now I've messed up so bad after coming to the Lord, God can't use me because of that. Again, that's false. God is a God of not only second chances, but umpteen chances. I mean, over and over, God will use us if we will simply repent and return to the Lord. And so again, that's the encouragement I think that Eve is getting here. It's like, yes, Eve, you've blown it bad, but God's not through with you. You're going to be the mother of all living. You're going to bring mankind, the rest of mankind, into the world. You're going to be, your descendants will bring the Messiah into the world as well. And this name would have been very encouraging to Eve, again, because of this, knowing that God was going to still use her. I think about, you know, Peter, you know, when he fell, when he blew it. You know, God saw Peter was going to blow it. He knew in advance. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God knows about your failures that you've already done as well as those you're going to do tomorrow? You know, God's not surprised that we fail. Sometimes when I fail, I think, I can't believe I did that. God says, I can. Not only can I believe it, I knew you would. And I knew you would from the foundations of the world, and I had a plan to take care of it. And that is the blood on the cross. You simply ask forgiveness, and we're going to start over. Get up, dust yourself off. Here we go. You know, God didn't say, all right, I see throughout your life you're going to come to this certain place. You're going to do this one thing where I can never use you anymore. He says, no, here's this certain place. And whether or not I can use you again will depend on how you respond. I have two plans. I have this plan that if you don't respond, if you don't repent, you're right. I can't use you anymore. If you don't repent, because you're putting yourself on a shelf. But here's my other plan, and that is, if you'll simply repent, I've got great things lined up for your life. Because although the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, I have come to give life, and life more abundantly. And so God is hope, and God is life. And again, Eve here realizing now that she has that, Peter the same way. The Lord looked at Peter and said, Peter, your name is now Rock. Let me ask you a question. Was he Rock yet? Not at all. He wasn't a Rock yet in the sense of being strong in the Lord, but he would be later. But see, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us for where we are. He sees us for what we're going to be. And so the encouragement he was giving Peter is the same that he was giving Eve. Eve's getting a new name. Now she's being given a name by Adam and through the Lord, even as Peter was given a name, saying, I know your future. I know you've blown it, but there's a lot of hope in your future. You're going to one day be a rock, Peter. You're going to one day be used in great ways. But he told Peter that before Peter failed, didn't he? He knew Peter was going to fail. He looked at Peter, Rock, this strong Christian, this man who was going to be used as one of the foundation stones of the church, and he looked at him knowing he was going to deny him and fail him and said, you know what? You're Rock, and I'm giving you that name. If Peter had known at that time what he was going to do, I'm sure he would have argued. He would have said, I'm not Rock. You know, he said, I'm shifting sand maybe at best, but I'm not Rock. And the Lord would say back to him, no, I'm not calling you this name because of what you are. I'm calling this name because of what you will be by the time I'm done with you. And see, this is the hope that we have in the Lord. Eve now realizes she has hope because, you know, God is giving her a new name through Adam. And it's not failure. It doesn't mean loser, so to speak, as we jokingly say. It's the mother of all living. There's going to come life through your life, Eve, and you're going to be a blessing to others. Even as you might have been used in a curse, you're going to be a blessing. I think one of the hardest things for me when I came to the Lord was realizing how I was used by the enemy to be a curse in so many people's lives. I was used to bring destruction. And yet although that's heavy and although that's very painful when I think about it, the exciting news is God says, now I'm going to take you and give you a new name, Mark. And that new name I'm going to use you now to bring life. I'm going to use you as the instrument of life. You know, when you received a name back then, your name was your character. It meant who you were. It wasn't just my name is this. It represented your very being. And so by God giving a new name to us, and God here, Adam, if you will, giving a new name to Eve through this, he basically was saying God has a new character for you. God is going to do something new in your life. And you know what? The Bible says that God gives us a new name as well. You know how he gave Peter a new name? Well, the Bible says God's going to give us a new name. You've got a name. I don't know what it is. It's a new name. And one day you're going to know what that name is. And that name represents the character that you're going to be and that you're going to have throughout eternity. Now, where do we see that in Scripture? Well, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. God has given you a new name. Now, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be a name that represents you maybe throughout eternity. It's going to be something that's going to qualify who God has called you to be. You see, God sees your end. He sees who you are right now in the heavenlies. The Bible says we're seated in the heavenlies with the Lord. Now, think about that. What that means is you're not there yet physically, but God already sees you there because he sees the future. He already knows what you're going to be like, who you're going to be, everything about you. He gives you a name that goes with it. Now, again, it would be kind of fun to know what that name is, but God's going to give us a new name. And here he gives Eve a new name. Remember after wrestling with Jacob. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord, very literally wrestling with the Lord, but I think in many other ways wrestling in his heart with the Lord, because Jacob was a deceiver. His name means deceiver, heel catcher. It meant deceiver, one that would trip you up. And so now Jacob finds himself wrestling with the Lord. Remember there at the Ford Jabbok, the night before he goes to confront Esau, and he's wrestling all night with the Lord, and he says, you know, don't let me go until you bless me. I want a blessing. You've won, in other words, Lord. You've conquered. I give up. But don't leave without giving me a blessing. After wrestling with God in his spirit, and God says, all right, your name is no longer going to be Jacob, which means deceiver, but now your name is going to be Israel, which means prince with God or governed by God or controlled by God. You're now going to be a new person. I'm giving you a new name and a new character. But this was after living an entire life as a deceiver. Guys, I don't know what your life has been like up to this point, but God has a new name for you. And he knows what that new name and that new character is. And God is day by day developing you and growing you and changing you to make you like your name. And you will one day live up to that name. Isn't that exciting? It's not a matter of here's where you are now. You know, God calls you rock right now, although you may be shifting sand until later. But God says you will one day be this. I think of Gideon again. Remember, there he is hiding from the Midianites and trying to thresh the wheat down in this wine press, which would have been a low place so he wouldn't be seen and they wouldn't steal his wheat and he wouldn't get in trouble. And God says, hey, you mighty man of valor, you know. And that always cracks me up when I read that. Every time I read it, I smile. What a mighty man of valor. I'm hiding from the enemy. And God says, no, I see what you're going to be because I chose you from the foundations of the earth. And I have something lined up for you that you're never going to believe. And you're never going to believe who you're going to be by the time I'm done with you. Guys, no matter where you are this morning, God has something special for your life. He has something lined up for you that you could never dream or imagine. The Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that the Lord has for you. And you might be thinking, I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I've really blown it. And God might say to you, that's true. But I'm not going to leave you that way. Because I'm going to make you into something that you're not, and I'm going to make you a man or a woman of character and a man or a woman of God. And God is faithful to do it. If we didn't have this type of hope, wouldn't it be despairing to think, here's where I am, I'm going to be stuck here forever? Listen, for you to think that God can't change your life and to make you a warrior and a leader for him like he has designed your life to be is to deny the power of God in your life. And that doesn't mean you have to suddenly, you know, you change your personality or not be the person. No, God has said, I'm going to make you into something special for me, someone that I can use for my purposes if you'll simply allow me to do it. And now he's encouraging Eve in the same way. And I think Adam in the midst of it, because again, Adam seeing the encouragement for Eve, knowing that he is a part of this as well, God being faithful. And notice it says, now we see in verse 21, that was Adam's encouragement to Eve. But now notice God's encouragement to Adam and Eve in verse 21. And it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and he clothed them. Now, why is this encouragement making them tunics of skin? Well, notice this. He clothed them. This clothing alone gives hope because it is not the clothing itself, but it's what the clothing represented. Now, to understand that, we have to realize that before the fall, I believe they were clothed in God's glory. But they lost it through sin. Now, why do I believe they were clothed in God's glory? Well, for this simple reason. Because at the fall, something drastically happened that let them know they were suddenly naked. I don't think because of the fall, they suddenly one day just stood there and looked at each other and said, whoa, we're naked. I believe they were clothed, but what were they clothed with? They were clothed in God's glory at this point, I believe. And the moment they sinned, it broke that relationship with God and the glory of God was lifted. And suddenly the clothing of glory was removed. And now they stood realizing we are naked. Naked before God in a very literal sense, but naked also in a spiritual sense, which we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. But again, I also believe that once in heaven, we're going to be clothed again in this glory. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but the Bible says that we will shine. We're going to shine, the Bible says, like the stars. Now imagine that. You're going to be shining like a star. I don't know what that's going to look like or what that's going to be like, but I believe it's the reclothing of this glory that we now fell from. I think that Adam and Eve had that glory. I think they were clothed in that glory. And now, until then, we clothe ourselves, what? In a robe of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And so we're clothed in that robe, that temporary robe, until we're once again enthroned, or not, yes, with the Lord enthroned, if you will, ruling and reigning with him, but also clothed in that glory. But now here comes the encouragement. They were clothed again by God, not yet with the glory as before, but clothed with the hope of salvation and the future glory with God. You see, they realized they were naked, and yet God steps in and says, I know you're naked. I know that without me, you're not clothed anymore, but now I'm going to clothe you. And I'm going to wrap right now my robe of righteousness spiritually on you, but physically a clothing so that you can see that in a very tangible way. And again, it's a hope of salvation and future glory with God. And why is it a hope of salvation and a hope of future glory? Well, because the promise of the Savior given back in verse 15 was simply symbolic of the sacrifice of the blood and the life that would be given in Jesus Christ later. Remember, he said that he's going to bruise your heel and you'll crush his head. This promised seed, the bruising of the heel was forecasting the cross, if you will. It was forecasting the sacrifice that Jesus would do, which in essence was promising the salvation. In other words, through a sacrifice of this future seed, you're going to be forgiven, Adam and Eve. And that's the hope that they have, a hope of salvation. And because of that, one day glory again in the Lord. You see, in order to be clothed with animal skins, God had to kill an animal. And if God had to kill an animal, blood had to be spilled. And the Lord no doubt let them know that it's through blood that forgiveness comes. Now, why do I believe that God let them know that it's through blood that forgiveness comes? Because later on we see Abel in his sacrifice, he made a blood sacrifice to the Lord. Again, I think realizing that this is what would be acceptable to the Lord. So again, we see they understood this. God gives them now this hope of this future and this forgiveness and all that God's going to do in their life through this. Very encouraging, especially in the midst of the fall that they had just experienced. Now, again, also notice even as God didn't leave them spiritually naked, he didn't leave them physically naked. You know, God clothed them, it says here. He put the clothes on them. Once the glory was taken away, God put physical clothes on them.
Our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.com. thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.